You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Following rules apply. The show where we answer questions you didn't know need answering.
And we're back with more questions. How many more questions?
Seven down, seven to go.
Oh yeah, my name's Jason Eden. Joining me today is...
Joel Cooper.
And this show is called The Following Rules Apply, where we answer the most interesting questions around.
Which we couldn't find, so we went for these ones instead.
It's After Christmas. And Joel, what was the best gift you got?
Oh, well, if I had to choose, it would probably be a fish tank.
Uh-huh.
I don't like fish, I just like glass.
For me, I got a pallet of Bounty Easter eggs.
But Bounty Easter eggs?
Yep.
You mean the ones that no one bought last year?
Yep.
And you got the whole palette?
Yep.
How many?
I haven't even counted. This is too many.
My sympathies.
Yep.
Welcome along to the show! Carousel Radio!
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
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 Question 1. You are given an indestructible rock as a gift. You can teleport to the rock, but the rock can't teleport to you. Other items may be teleported to the rock. However, you must be in physical contact with the items you wish to teleport in order to teleport them. The following rules apply. You cannot use the rock to go on holiday. The teleport functions at a range of 15 miles only. If the rock ends up at the bottom of the ocean, you are not getting it back. How do you use the rock?
I mean, if it were me, I would do the ever exciting thing of getting my shopping home without having to go home.
That's what I would do. I'll just leave it home. And then it'd be like, I can go anywhere within 15 miles and then just teleport back.
My name's Suzanne and I'm a huge fan of Carousel Radio. I would leave the rock anchored to the wind farm, which is in the middle of the English Channel, 8 miles from Brighton, holding hands with my friends on Brighton Beach. We would teleport ourselves to the wind farm with a huge, delicious picnic in a waterproof bag. We would have a swim round, and then when we were done, we would swim back.
No rules broken.
No rules are broken.
Fair play, well done. One may ask, how do you get it to the wind farm? But that is not part of the question.
And up next, the creative director of Carousel. Let's see if he has a creative answer.
Gareth from Carousel. I'm just going to read out what he wrote down literally, and we'll discuss. Okay. Rock would have to stay at home! ! Shopping, gigs with amps, home from work, when the weather has changed. Also minimizes the chance of it being stolen or acquisitioned by the government for testing, or either the rock or I end up at the bottom of the ocean. So what he's done is he's taken the idea that I said, I think both of us said, you know, the idea of shopping, but then noting the other things that you can get with it. Because, like, I have to assume amps and other such recording equipment is expensive and, most importantly, very, very heavy.
Mm.
So, like, wise man, this Gareth.
It all depends on how far out the gig is, because if he's taking the gig to London, he's got to get those heavy amps within the 15-mile radius.
Yeah, yeah. there's a movie called Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Yes, Kiss as in the band. And one of the guys there can teleport. And the way he does it is he kind of points with his thumb to the side. Like, we're going that away, that sort of point, and that gets him to teleport.
Yeah.
I would do that because, A, it looks very silly, but more importantly, you're never going to do it accidentally.
True. I want to rip off Star Trek and just have it where you click your fingers.
Ah, cue.
Just like, click, done.
So for those who don't know, we are referencing Star Trek The Next Generation, where there was this essentially godlike character called Q, who, with a click of his fingers, could do...
anything he wants.
Basically anything up to the budget of a show from the 80s.
Yes. And here's a spoken word answer from spoken word producer Dave Levers.
Again, I'll be reading it exactly as written. I would leave The Rock in my favourite pub, hidden under a table or something, and immediately wander off. Later, after the pub is shut and all the staff gone, I would teleport back to the rock in the pub and help myself to a free pint. I would then hope I can open a window, throw the rock out into the pavement and teleport out of the pub to the rock outside. I would do this 3 times per week or until I was arrested for theft, trespass, and unlawful possession of a magic rock, if that is a law.
Not a law, as of yet.
Yeah, that's the key phrase, yet. Fair play to him thinking about the whole, there's no amount limit.
No.
So the idea of go in, throw out, and then leave via that, because you can almost certainly open a window from the inside.
The thing is if he's worried about getting caught, why did he just smash the window with the rock?
Well, he's worried about getting caught. Someone will notice a broken window, but you may not notice a missing pint. Mm. He has made sure that he will not be noticed.
All right, find a pub with a cat flap.
Yeah, that's the thing to take into account. If someone could throw it far enough, it may be possible to teleport to the rock, throw, teleport to the rock, and then you can get some real distance.
Let's take it one step further, right?
Oh, dear.
Instead of throwing it, you get a petrol remote control car.
Yes!
Tie the rock to the car, drive it down the end of the road, teleport down the end of the road, and then you just drive it wherever you want to go next. You can pick up the car, shove it in your rucksack if it's big enough.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The following rules apply.
Question 2. High up in the sky is a cargo plane. In the back of the cargo plane is a professional base jumper with a magic bag that can hold anything without changing the bag's size or weight. In front of the jumper is £1 million in cash. The money is in bundles of £1,000 per stack. The rear cargo door of the plane suddenly opens and the money flies out of the plane. The base jumper goes after the money. The base jumper must put as much money into the bag as possible before the money hits the ground. Any money the base jumper collects, they get to keep. However, if any money hits the ground, the base jumper loses all rights to any of those stacks. How rich is the base jumper when they finally land?
Now let's throw it over to Gus Garside from Carousel.
Not at all rich. As base jumping is illegal, they would receive a fine bigger than the amount of money they had collected. Plus, they would be fined by the Base Jumping Association, as planes are not fixed objects, so they would be breaking the rules of base jumping.
Ladies and gentlemen, the master of the answer.
I mean,
Gus.
Damn.
Hello, I'm Liz. I'm the director at Carousel. I think the money and the base jumper will fall at the same speed, so he won't catch up with them. But they don't seem to have a parachute anyway.
Okay, so Liz has picked up on something, which it is shocking how many people don't know this. Things fall at the same speed because the speed you fall at is determined by gravity, not by weight.
Terminal velocity.
Correct. Actually, to be more technical, because the only thing that would slow you down is the drag of air, this actually means that the stacks of money will fall faster. So there is a very real chance that you might not get any. Well done.
And now we have an answer from Suzanne.
83 bundles of £1,000.
Ah, wow. That's a not just around 80, 83 specific. I love to see her working. I assume she actually does have like A3 sheets stacked up on a wall, loads of strings attached to everything.
Let's get the producer involved. It's Paul.
In cahoots with the base jumper, I would install a land-based platform equipped with 1,000 active hairdryers that produce enough upward wind force to stop any stray stacks of cash hitting the ground. Rather than catching all the stacks of money, he would be tasked with pushing the stacks towards the hairdryers. Around the hairdryer platform would be a series of giant nets that would also stop the cash stacks from hitting the ground, giving the base jumper even more time to collect all £1 million.
Okay.
Well done. I mean, you're losing your money because, I mean, if I got £1 million and you gave me the ability to get that million, I'm running away. It's not like you can sue me, and even if you can, guess who can afford a lawyer? This guy. You want to know how I can afford a lawyer? Because you let me have the money. next up is from Gareth. This might sound vaguely familiar. Again, I'm just going to read out what he wrote down literally. Base jumpers don't jump out of planes. Wouldn't they get squashed? Second person to note this little fact that, yes, a base jumper jump off fixed points. So I guess what he's saying is that this wouldn't happen.
I wanted to use the word parachutist because I didn't, for some reason, forgot skydivers was a thing and couldn't spell parachutist, so I just went base jumper.
Peek behind the curtain, everyone.
Yeah, so basically that's what happened there.
Oh, you're a vol.
So yeah, I literally forgot skydiving was a thing.
Next one from Mr. Levis. In his magic bag, the base jumper keeps a huge projectile-powered net, which, when deployed at lightning speed, collects all the money when it flies out of the plane. The base jumper then jumps, deploys his parachute, and floats gently down to Earth with all the money. Or simply shouts to the pilot to land, seeing as there's no point to him to jump anymore. So we've got a very equipped and ready for this base jumper. It's almost like he heard that there's £1 million up for grabs. So well done to that base jumper.
I would do it in two ways. So the first way I would do it is I would add a small thruster pack to my feet. And the only point of that is to make me accelerate faster going down. Yeah. So I can catch up with the money. Okay. I would then release my parachute, but then have it catch the money, tie it up, put the parachute in the bag, then deploy the backup chute. Thus, securing me the whole million. The second way I would do it is I would put a net behind the plane, so when the doors open and the money flies out, it flies straight into a net, and thus, no need to jump.
Okay, we've got a way for you to win and a way for the base jumper to win. Interesting. Because I'm, you know, dull, I actually went for it literally and just thought of like, okay, how many would it be? And, well, I mean, actual physics would dictate that he wouldn't get anything. Of course, you did mention the jetpack or jet anklets, and so well done. Yeah. As a man of science, I really should have taken into account the use of the jetpack, and I feel like a
fool.
Yeah,
so it's not there to make me fly, it's there to make me go down fast.
It's made to make you... Jetpacks, they're made to make you fall. Maybe Buzz Lightyear is onto something.
Maybe.
I would say maybe like 2 or 3 stacks. So like so he lands with 2 or 3 grand, which I mean would probably, at least I think that'll cover the flight at least.
Question 3. A sandwich magically appears in front of you. In 10 minutes time, you'll need to make an exact copy of that sandwich and send the sandwich back in time 10 minutes to when the sandwich originally first appeared. If you fail to send the sandwich back in time, a time paradox will be generated, causing a new timeline to be created. The following rules apply. Being in 2023, the time machine has not yet been invented. The sandwich itself is a tuna mayo sandwich with spinach, mozzarella, and crispy bacon. You cannot send the first sandwich that originally appeared back in time. And, as it's a bank holiday, business times will be affected. What do you do?
Now, I should know right now, at the time of recording, it is actually late 2022, and I feel that should be noted because there is actually a chance that by 2023, the time machine may be invented. We don't know yet, but we are going to assume for now that the time machine will not be invented in 2023. I mean, the obvious answer for this, of course, is who's to say the no sandwich timeline is so bad?
I mean, to be fair, they've already invented the teleporter.
I would probably just... I was going to say eat the sandwich, but then I realised that that sounds like a horrible sandwich. Who the hell has tuna, mayo, spinach, mozzarella, bacon?
Crispy bacon goes with everything.
Except tuna.
No. It goes with everything.
It really doesn't.
It does.
It super
it,
doesn't.
It honestly does.
Sir, you are wrong.
Prove me wrong.
I will soon.
Well, until you do... It goes with everything. When I had a breakfast thing, which was pancakes, golden syrup, strawberries, and crispy bacon, that's when I realised that crispy bacon literally goes with everything.
The thing is that now you're listing things, and I'm like, is he right?
Yes.
Is he right, though?
Trust me.
This might require further investigation, but onto the thing that we're talking about right now, I'm just going to throw the paradox sandwich in the bin because I don't want to touch that. And if dinosaurs come back and destroy the world, sorry.
Let the new timeline generate, because I'd just be like, there's a sandwich. You know what? It's free. I'm going to eat it. And then hopefully, if I'm lucky, get another one in the new timeline.
I think it's a good time to mention, by the way, that according to this old B-movie, I think it's called Time Chasers, they made a time machine out of a plane and a Commodore 64. So making a time machine may not be as hard as we think, if we follow the movie Time Chasers.
Yeah. Another question we have to address is how many people have tuna, mozzarella, and spinach in their cupboards? Because let's say you've run out of these ingredients, how far away is your local shop? Because you literally have to leg it there, buy the stuff, get it back again, and make the sandwich.
I live really close to, like, at least 2 delis, so I could probably get my hands on fresh mozzarella. Spinach is easy to get your hands on.
Just go to the deli and get them to make the sandwich for you.
You could. I would. You should. Everyone, if you're going to make a paradox sandwich, make sure you get an actual professional to make it.
Concur.
And now Suzanne.
I would use my teleporting rock to get to a supermarket to quickly buy the ingredients, and then I would make up the sandwich in the aisles of the supermarket.
Okay, didn't cover time travel, but remember the rock!
Yeah.
Yes! Happy about that.
How can magic the rock and turn it into a time machine itself?
Oh, yes. Okay, we have truly started something stupid today. This is amazing.
So far, what we've learned is rocks are awesome, bacon goes with everything.
Okay, now we're going to hear from our own Gareth once again. All thoughts, especially the logic needed to solve cryptic problems, escapes me when presented with a good sandwich. I would more likely than not just eat the sandwich and take humanity's chances with the new timeline.
And here's an answer from Liz.
Enjoy the time paradox and eat the sandwich.
Another person with that answer. It's kind of... It's canon. It's yeah, just canon.
It's a free sandwich.
Who would say no to me? But other than me, who would say no to a free sandwich? Okay, I'm just going to look up the worst sandwich I've seen. Just so it's from a game.
Yep.
And someone has this sandwich. And the main character goes, the only person who would eat it is someone who would want to punish themselves.
Right.
Okay, the sandwich is comprised of turkey, strawberry jam, and cereal.
Strawberry jam, I can understand. Cereal add a bit of crunch to it, depending on how long it's been in the sandwich for. Turkey.
Well, that's your stomach has already spoken.
It's my personal belief that the sandwich is the best thing ever invented because you can literally, except for soup, put anything you want as a filling. And technically, you can eat the same things with a pie, but then the sandwich is just more convenient.
When it comes to the cook's equivalent of a blank canvas, I'm more of a pasta guy.
But you can put pasta in a sandwich.
You can. And you can also break up bread and throw that into pasta. We have created a bread-pasta paradox. A pasta-breadadox.
Yep.
Of putting things inside things in a true recursive nature with no beginning and no end.
Which is why I like the sandwich, because they're like... almost limitless possibilities you can put in.
The following rules apply.
Question 4. If a tree falls in the woods and lands on top of a cow, how many people can you comfortably feed with a barbecue?
First things first, apologies to any vegans who are listening in. Now, the key word for me is comfortable. I'm also assuming that you're not going to be hauling a cow all over the place, so that means the carcass is, like, right there.
Yeah.
And that's going to make people very uncomfortable. So I'm going to assume approximately the one person who is willing to cut and cook it. So me, that's it. It's only going to make me and only me will be the only one comfortable.
Because there's different types of things you can cook with the cow. Because you've got ribs, you can grind up the things for burgers. You can use the tree that's fallen over as part of the barbecue wood, so you can even smoke the meat. You didn't have to consider if people want seconds.
True, true, true.
Most people go to barbecues, they don't just want one burger.
I mean, if I was told I was going to a fancy barbecue with a whole lot of cow, I would skip breakfast.
Yeah, good point. I mean, barbecue is absolutely delicious. My favourite type of burgers are done on the barbecue grills.
Yeah.
And most restaurant places don't do that. And it's just like, it's missing something.
The thing is missing, it's called the Maillard reaction.
Yes.
You know when you cook something and meat starts to brown and blacken? That is the Maillard reaction. It's, if memory serves, it's basically sugars caramelising.
Then there's beef ribs... steak. You can use most of the cow for the barbecue. And like I said, you've already got the firewood anyway.
So we must ask the question again. How many?
I want to say 38 people, depending on how much meat or how big the cow is.
And now Suzanne.
1,228. You would turn the cow into sausages and they would eat that.
I'm either way off the mark or I don't understand how big cows are.
I don't know if they're that big, but they are also really big.
Is beef sausage the best sausage to make?
I'm very subtle about it, but I may be a little bit Jewish. And there is a type of beef sausage called Viennas, which are essentially Jewish hot dogs. And those are amazing and are derived from beef. According to bbc.co.uk, sausages contain a minimum of 42%, but the minimum is 32% if the packaging is labeled generic sausage. So that means about a third, basically you get triple the amount of sausage per the meat, amount of meat of said cow.
So how many hot dogs would that make?
Enough.
Here's an answer from the director of Carousel itself, Liz.
Can you hear the cow scream? The can you hear the cow scream is that old puzzle about if you can't hear a tree falling in the woods, has it really fallen over?
Would it scream or would it just go...
Well, first of all, I don't want to be that guy, and by that, I of course means I love being that guy. It's not, did it really fall over, it's, did it make a sound?
Right.
That's the hypothetical question. And now, go for it, Gus.
Lots, as most of them are vegetarian.
Oh, greedy Gus. He's playing the long game here. He made sure to know that he wants that cow. Clever.
It's the reason I like buying licorice. I like to share things. And I know a lot of people don't like licorice. So he'd be like, do you want some of this? And they're like, no, I think great, more for me.
Fun fact, I actually quite like licorice.
Yeah.
Not the biggest fan, but I quite like it.
Only licorice I found I haven't liked is salted licorice. For some reason, I can't get on with it.
I've never had that.
It's weird.
On to now with Gareth and Bold. I would feel uncomfortable if I was required to try and barbecue food enough to feed more than, say, a dozen people. Quite stressful. But this does depend on the salads on offer. Most people underestimate the power of the salad. I'm happy he remembered it.
One thing I like about his answer is he's one of the first people to bring up how labor-intensive it would be to cut down the cow and then cook it.
That's a full day.
Yeah.
At least. And that's assuming you are an actual butcher.
Well, technically it's 2 days, right? Because it's going to be 1 day to cut down the thing and prepare it. And then you have to leave it to rest overnight to tenderize the meat. And then you've got to cook it, right?
I mean, it could be longer. Like, we've mentioned things like steak. Steak needs maturing. Most steak places do, like, 28 days. Yeah. Some places go for, like, 30.
And what if you want to smoke certain things as well?
Basically, Gareth and Bold has essentially discovered a key thing, which is, like, the time factor.
Yeah.
On to Mr. Dave. You can feed maybe 50 people with one cow. Think of how big a burger is. I think there are 50 burgers worth of meat in a cow. Good number?
That's true.
I'm not going to give him the love the specific number bonus because he said the word maybe, which means he's referring to approximately 50. So, we love you, Dave, but no.
Following rules apply.
The following rules apply.
Question 5. Bananas are now illegal. However, you have a warehouse full of ripe bananas, which you intend to sell for a profit. But authorities are now on the lookout for your bananas and their location. How would you disguise your warehouse so it does not attract the attention of anyone looking for it?
So, disguising a building.
For me, I have one simple thing I would do.
Paint it blue?
Nope, I would cover up in plywood around the sides. Paint it the most boring grey you can think of. Then I will put a really cheap chain link fence around the outside. On the fence will be a sign that says, no food and drink beyond this point. And then on the back, I'll put up a light, a security camera, and two words, immigration office. I can't imagine anyone looking for banana there.
We kind of have a very similar idea, which is like, for me, my goal would just to be, make it kind of boring. So like, I would just say Smiths & Co. Freight. My goal is to make it as aggressively boring as possible. Like, your eyes need to glaze over just looking at it.
Yeah, someone told me once that they would make the building look like a banana and then just have to sign out of business written on it. So they're hiding in plain sight.
The double bluff is a very risky strategy, but when it works, it works. But my word, when it doesn't.
Gus Garside from Carousel.
Brand it Amazon and they would never investigate it.
Ooh! Gus with the goods!
Disguise it as a smoothie factory, but the tarantulas might give it away. I actually went to a banana, we used to call it a banana factory, but it was where all the bananas were shipped in Essex when I was a child, and it was full of really big furry spiders, like tarantulas, and it freaked a lot of people out, and I always remember going there.
Disguise it as a pet store, because if this is what the answer is saying, that tarantulas are attracted to bananas, if you've got a bunch of tarantulas in there.
They're a niche pet, but people do like tarantulas, like I like a tarantula.
Yeah.
I am me though, but still.
See, just think, being a niche pet, it's going to keep a lot of people away.
Anyway, back to where Liz's answer is, directly, smoothie factory. Okay.
Hmm. I guess you can get away with that to an extent, because if you find bananas on the property, you could just say, X stock, forgot they were there.
All I'm going to say is, make sure you tell your staff that it's with avocado. There is merit in this.
It's not bad, because if you go undiscovered, by a certain amount of time, you would have gotten rid of your stock anyway by putting them in the smoothie.
That is true.
It just depends what you need to do with the skins.
That's actually a thought, actually. This is anyone who's actually thought about using. Like, we're meant to be black market banana salesmen.
Yeah. That's a good point. No one's actually... Because we're meant to sell them for a profit, and no one's decided what we're going to sell them as. Damn.
We are here to make a profit, damn it. Well done, Liz.
Smoothie shop. Bananas.
And now Suzanne.
I would wrap the entire warehouse in banana skins to act as a decoy camouflage.
Once again, hiding in plain sight. Not sure about the idea of it, although on the plus side, guaranteed anyone trying to wander in to slip. Always handy to have innate security in your disguise, well done.
One, I found a small problem, because you said the skins, what's happening with the actual bananas?
She's selling, that's a good
what's happening with the actual
then, we can't judge her for that, because only one person has thus far thought about what they're doing with the bananas.
It's Paul.
I would commission notorious banana lover and street artist Banksy to create an art piece on the side of the warehouse, which playfully mocked the government's ludicrous ban of this delicious, nutritious snack. The Banksy piece would draw the crowds, but hopefully distract everybody's attention from the true purpose of the building. I'd ship out and sell the bananas at night when no one was around, with the hope that by the time somebody came to cut the Banksy from the wall, the warehouse would be empty.
First things first, Mr. Hollywood, you are now the second person thus far to remember that we are black market banana salesmen. Yeah. So well done, Mr. Hollywood. Well done, Paul. You remember that part. So I'm going to assume this is not going to be, like, advertised. It'll just be noticed and then via Instagram. So I'm going to say that this might be our... I'm going to say that actually this might be our best thus far. Because it'll basically just go, they're just people who just sort of are looking at this art project. And it'll basically just take some time until someone just go, hang on, did they get permission to do that? So this is a good one. Anyway... Dave put a sign up saying vegan health food shop. From watching cop stakeout scenes in movies, we all know that they only ever eat unhealthy takeaway food and would probably not venture in, even if they were sure there were bananas there. Genre savvy. This is some next level meta.
I would say, yeah, that's spot on the nose.
This isn't a competition, so I'm not going to say we've got a winner per se, but I'm a big fan. Good old Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
Moldy bananas in piles as distractions. I'm going to be honest, I don't think this is a good plan.
Interesting.
I'm sure people will find where the bananas are coming from. Like, let's check the next building. There it is. Love your zeal, but you've got a long way to go before you are a black market banana salesman, Gareth.
If you think about it, though, he hasn't actually disguised the warehouse. He's just put a distraction outside the warehouse.
He has. Well, I mean, he did say that.
Isn't that a... rule infringement there.
Alert, rule infringement detected.
So, rule infringement, and it fails.
Yeah, so I don't mind him having a pile of bananas outside the warehouse. That part's fine.
I mean, I do, it's moldy.
There wasn't a disguise for the warehouse. Fail.
To be honest, I'm okay with saying letting it pass just because it's purely doomed to fail.
Yeah, sure, why not?
The following rules apply.
Question 6. The US President has come to the end of his term in office. You have been appointed Chief of Staff for the new presidential election candidate. As Chief of Staff, you must run a successful advertising campaign. You must come up with a campaign slogan. You must plan a state-to-state tour for your candidate. You must manage all of the candidate's social media. You must get the candidate elected as president. However, your candidate is a normal farm chicken. How do you pull it off?
So, first things first, I feel the need to point out that there is a place in America where a cat was voted as mayor, so...
There's another place in America where the dogs are mayor.
So, this is not as unprecedented as you may think.
It is 100% plausible.
I'm going to start with the slogan. Laying our way to the future, unfortunately, does have a slight other meaning, and I'm okay with that because I'm a terrible person. Okay, successful campaign. Okay, well, I mean, let's be honest, chickens running around is kind of funny looking and oddly adorable.
I've got a slogan, the bird is the best. I would get people to dress up in chicken costumes. Secretly, I think people love dressing up as chickens.
By the way, what does she mean by secretly?
Call Colonel Sanders.
Points to make are that as a chicken, he or she has a dream, has a great memory, including for faces, learns from experience, has empathy, and understands how important it is to have a good life. The state-to-state tour is called the Chicken Run and will consist of very short flights. Like reindeer, they are social animals, so very good at social media, especially Twitter. And the slogan is, a poultry life is so much better than a poultry life.
Poultry? Like that?
What I would do is I would hire a bunch of comedians and then use them as translators.
Ooh. I mean, that sounds like an idea that will backfire, but horribly amazingly well.
Yeah.
Okay, next up from Gareth and Bold. I think this would be fairly easy. Chicken is popular in America, right? KFC, Popeyes. I would also compare to previous president, highlighting how courteous, responsible, and presentable Mr. Chicken is. That does work. Next up, Dave.
Slogan. Vote for Vincent, plucky American hero, loyal to our founding feathers.
Solid? Long? Appreciate that.
I like he's the only one who's ever named the chicken.
The tour would work like any other state tour, only with a chicken and not a middle-aged human. Vincent would be far less demanding and unlikely to court controversy. Social media? Put a camera on Vince's head and upload films of him meeting the public, kids cuddling him, and other chickens wanting his autograph.
Okay, social media. First person chicken cam. Set it to take pictures intermittently and it will kind of just Instagram itself. Just automate the process. Well done, Dave.
Slogan, let's see. I want to say, like, I'll be there like the crack of dawn. Say it's a state tour. I just want it to be a never-ending convoy of just vehicles.
My tour was going to not have the vehicle, just an army of chickens. Even Alfred Hitchcock would run from this amount of flippin' birds. As they charge in, it'll be amazing. I did not know my voice could do that. And now we're going to throw it to Paul.
As chicken is the most consumed meat in the USA, a successful campaign will have to tap into this popularity whilst ruling out the possibility of eating the president, their chicken friends and family. My slogan will be, you love 'em, let 'em lead. Vote Charlie Chicken if it's a rooster, or Charlotte Chicken if it's a hen. The strategy will mostly involve impersonating the popular Looney Tunes cartoon character and prankster Foghorn Leghorn.
If I'm a rooster, I say if I'm a rooster.
Who is known for his loud mouth and big personality. Perfect traits for a US president. A new social media platform called Clucker will be launched to promote the ideas of the presidential nominee, with the hope that many of their clucks will go viral. Due to concerns about bird flu, the chicken will tour around all 50 states in an airtight deluxe motorized chicken coop with a glass front through which the candidate can be seen having a grand old time munching on mealworms whilst watching Foghorn Leghorn reruns on their RoosterVision TV set.
Now what, I say, what's the big idea bashing me on the noggin with a rolling?
That was incredibly thought out. Yeah, so not only did you name the chicken, you came up with an alternative name in case it wasn't a rooster, which was nice.
That was a nice stuff. I mean, I was assuming hen from the get-go, to be honest. But anyway, first things first, considering the current state of Twitter as the time of recording, I think Clucker might actually have some legs, or some talons. Big focus, of course, is Foghorn Leghorn. Co-opting a Looney Tune, nice touch. I also quite like the guy.
I did think of that, but I could not for the life of me think of A, what show he was on, and B, what the character was called. So I just ignored it, but I had the same thought.
Jason approves.
Yeah.
Happy with that.
100%.
The following rules apply.
Question 7. All right, before we move on, random question, Joel. Are you a fan of coffee?
If it is drowned in milk, yes.
Fantastic. Which means moving on to question 7. Surprise, it's quickfire time.
Ooh, harmonised. I'm happy with that.
So, this is a quickfire questionnaire about something I've recently found out about and I'm very curious about.
Oh, hell.
Sparkling coffee.
Okay.
Now, I've assumed you are somewhat familiar.
I know it is...
a thing.
An American thing.
Yeah. Instead of one question, I'm going to hit you with a barrage of questions. And the first one is, what is sparkling coffee?
If I had to make a guess, coffee with... glitter? Like, no, if it's an American thing, it's gonna be like gold dust.
What is sparkling coffee?
An insult to coffee.
It's coffee with little bits of diamonds grated up into it.
How do you make sparkling coffee?
No idea.
You mine the diamonds and you get tens of thousands of pounds worth, and you put a tiny bit of shavings of each in a coffee that you then charge $500 a cup for.
You throw gold confetti, preferably edible.
If you were offered a free sample, would you try it?
Probably not, but as mentioned, I'm not the biggest coffee fan.
Yeah, I suppose I would.
No, I'd keep the diamonds and sell them to make the money.
Let's assume you did try it. How would it taste?
Sparkling.
Solid.
Like coffee, but sparkly, so horrible.
How much would you pay for a cup of sparkling coffee?
Nothing.
$1.50.
They would owe me money.
Sparkling coffee was sold in the supermarket, would you buy it?
No.
No.
I would keep them all so I could sell them and use the money to buy myself a real diamond ring.
Who is the targeted customer for this drink?
Rich idiots who don't like coffee.
People who have never tasted good black coffee.
Someone with more money than sense.
If you add a scoop of ice cream to the sparkling coffee, does it become a flute?
Most likely, yes.
No, it would not become a flute. It might become a float, though.
Would sparkling coffee have different flavours? And if so, what?
Yeah, and it'd be like, you know, vanilla coffee, coffee light, diet coffee, cool coffee, clear coffee.
Carbon and chocolate orange diamond.
If sparkling coffee went flat, how would it taste?
Awful.
Unsparkling.
I assumed it was always flat, so the same, I guess.
Could it be sold as an energy drink?
Coffee kind of is. It's an adult energy drink, so in a way, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be marketed as one, but definitely is one.
And final question, is it an overall good idea?
No.
Probably not.
Too expensive to make, too dangerous to drink.
It's not nearly as good as fizzy yogurt.
Wait, that's a thing? That's a thing? I'm learning so many different things. Sparkling coffee was... I don't know how I found it, but I came across it on the internet, and I couldn't believe it was real, so I looked into it a bit more. Turns out it is real. It's a cold brew coffee mixed with either fizzy water or tonic water. And I wanted to see how people would react to it.
All right, so are we going to go for the last thing with Gareth from Bold? Okay, he's only answered three of the questions, but I think these are the good ones. What is sparkling coffee? It's Kenko Cola or Fizz Cafe. Very happy with Fizz Cafe, by the way. Big fan of that bun. How do you make sparkling coffee? SodaStream. Is sparkling coffee a good idea? Only one way to find out. I would also like to point out that we have not heard Gareth since, and we would also like to have just a moment's silence ever since he may have tried it. Thank you.
I would also like to point out that I have never officially tried this. I am interested and also a tad worried about trying it.
Coffee floats, I think, is a thing. Coke floats are definitely a thing.
For
so
sure.
It's kind of that concept. I wonder if float is the thing that could make it work.
Interesting. Because it would add cream, which it would most desperately need.
It would be like an almost like Bailey sort of thing.
So what we've established is, yes, we would try it. No, it's a terrible idea.
Well, do not lump me in with the try.
It's a terrible idea. But it might work as a float.
Yes.
And that wraps up that. All right, well, that was fun.
Well, something.
If you guys got any questions you want us to answer, send them into Carousel on the social media of your choice. You can find us by looking up
Carousel Art UK.
Send us your questions and maybe even your answers via those platforms.
We can't wait to read them. We plan on doing another one of these sometime in the future, not sure when. But it's going to be a blast either way.
It will be. Like, get us to rack our brain. The point of this is to find the questions that you know need to be answered, but the other people, the drones, the sheeple you see on a daily basis, they have no idea.
We'll be back with a brand new show in February.
And until then, I've been Joel Cooper.
I'm Jason Need. And this has been Carousel Radio.
Tassie, bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.